All right, episode 33. We're back, Rob.
We're back. Like feels a bad like, habit.
Feels like the two of us haven't done this in a while, even though
it's been a few days.
It's been a few days, yeah. Time is a flat circle. I don't even know what that means. Just, all right, episode 33. Thought, as we're rocking and rolling, and we have talked in the past about how we do, we're very fond of saying we do a lot of things for a lot of different people, right? And variety is the spice, and we do all sorts of fun projects, different tactics, different clients, different verticals that we work in, all sorts of fun stuff, right? So I thought an interesting topic for us today might be adapting our style to client needs, right? Or adapting, you know, the workflow to specific client needs. If we're working on a packaged goods, like a food packaged goods client, right? That's a very, very different need than a medical client, right? You know, we obviously talk about B2B versus B2C, you know, that type of things, right? So, you know, how do we sort of integrate into those client worlds and do, you know, extremely stellar creative work for them, be it either design, advertising, writing, messaging, whatever the case may be, right? In all these different places, how do we do it? It's a mystery.
It's the Dr. Seuss machine.
Yeah.
You just drop it in the top and out comes magical...
I'm reminded of the Starbelly Sneetches.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's a great Dr. Seuss cartoon, which and book, of course.
When I think about like the broad question of how do we adapt our style to client needs, to me, I think about it in a few different avenues. Meaning, what is first of all defining a client need, right? So a client need to me can be anything from I need this tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it can be a timing perspective. It
sure.
can be, I need this to say X, or I need mm-hmm. this to do communicate X.
Yeah.
So then it becomes a creative perspective. Or I need something to help deliver this message. And then it becomes, what type of project is it? What is
okay.
So I think about it from a creative perspective, but then I also think about it from a business perspective.
Fascinating. I didn't even consider it that way at all. I didn't even think of timing, but that absolutely is a client need, right?
Well, yeah. So we say at the speed of business, and that's something that we come up against all the time, which is, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have 3 weeks to work on whatever project? And sometimes
sure.
we do, but other
yeah.
times it's fire drill. The phone rings. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of some of our good friends that we're working on today.
Yeah, it's very topical.
Very topical.
Who's got the time to do podcasts,
hey,
Rob, when we've got client work?
We've
got to
do this really great, and it's super fun projects, great creative, but we
yeah.
need it like by, I don't know, in say 36 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you adapt to those needs? Well, I think if you start to answer the question, A, from like, let's just pick on timing. Oh, okay, I need
yeah.
this tomorrow. That goes back to what we've talked about earlier, which is this idea that when you get into this business, you start to train your brain and
yeah.
learn to work under deadlines.
Absolutely.
Learn to be creative from 9 to 5 or
yeah.
whatever it is. You've got to produce
yeah.
X amount of ideas and they have to be good ones in 36 hours.
Yeah.
So it becomes that sort of fire drill. And that's just a practice of habit and
yeah.
being in the business.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you sort of expect those things to happen. And I think also that, as an aside, that keeps your brain fresh.
Absolutely.
Those fire drills are amazing
yeah.
for helping you go, okay, and kind of realign and recognize that you can do things really, you can do
yeah.
that fast and you can do that. So I think it's good. It's a good exercise for the brain.
Yeah, I mean, stagnation does not promote efficiency or necessarily stellar work. Right?
No.
Sometimes if you have 6 weeks to do something, it'll take you 6 weeks to do it. Right.
Well, that's because you for 5 weeks you don't do anything in the last week.
Well, I mean, I guess that's a conceivable possible outcome as well, right? But if you've only got 36 hours to do it, you know, you'll use the 36 hours, right?
Right. Right.
So yeah, it's an interesting approach. I hadn't even really considered timing as part of this topic, but I love it. I absolutely love
that's,
it.
That's so. One from and then but then when we talk about creativity, it's again it comes with experience, I think, but it's this idea that you know, to your point, we do lots of things for a lot of different people in a lot of different verticals.
Yeah.
Whether that's working on, you know, cannabis projects in states where it's legal.
Sure.
Versus a bank client.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's all different kinds of voices and businesses and things that you
yeah.
have to be able to adapt to. And
yeah.
So I think about styles and a lot of times too, adapting to a style means quite literally adapting to a client's taste. Right. So it's not just the need that they have from a project or a communication standpoint, but part of that is to their taste. And sort of as we get to know clients, the tone of voice that they like, the things that they, and learning to sort of speak their own personal language, I think as a client in a way, I think is important to be able to do too.
Well, it's funny, over the course of our careers, you know, when we thought about this topic, right, I immediately went to brand guidelines and the graphic visual representation of a lot of clients, right? So adapting our style to client needs, right? Well, we need to learn the graphic universe that clients play within. Right. Whether we develop that for the client, right?
Right.
Or whether it's a campaign-based initiative that we inherited from a client, or it's a longevity brand, right? Where it's, hey, we always use this specific typeface or these certain colors or these, whatever the case may be, right? But I think I'm kind of reminded of the old boxing quote when you're like, what? Styles make fights. Sometimes it's not necessarily the two biggest heavyweight names. It's the approach, right? That makes the boxing match interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And brand guidelines can only take you so far, right?
Yeah.
It's here's, 26 pages of rules of how to treat our logo, how to treat our brand, how to do things, right? But a lot of clients want to push those brand guidelines a little bit.
It's like a bike lane versus a six lane freeway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. So it's a lot of times when we approach projects, we'll kind of do that walk, crawl, run, right? Where it's, hey, here is, especially if it's a first engagement or an early project with a client, right? Trying to define the style and their client needs, it'll be like, okay, here's kind of the safe approach. I don't want to say safe, but here's like straight out of the brand guidelines, right? I mean, this is kind of what's happening, right? Then we push it a little further and it's, ooh, we're still in the city here. Right. But we're having a little fun graphically and potentially tonally, right? With headlines, messaging, things like that, right? And then we start to go even further.
We cross the double yellow line.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're on incoming incoming traffic is what's happening, right?
Yeah.
And part of that is the fun factor, but part of it's a little bit to test and scare and find out how far we can go with this particular initiative. And sort of how different you can be, I'm thinking of Moat, the Moat ad. That's one of our classic old ones
in the past.
Yeah, that's an old one.
The concept, real quick, was we were working for a company and they had they were selling off some properties.
Yeah,
and they had a really high end property.
Yeah,
and so
it was high end residential.
High end
residential. Right?
It was high end residential homes. Yeah, so it was a high end residential home, and the ad that we came up with was, hey, three simple steps to building your moat.
Yeah.
And so we never said in the ad anywhere about, hey, buy this great new house.
Yeah.
The implication was, you're going to need a moat.
Yeah.
You're buying a castle. This place is awesome.
Exactly.
Which was kind of a fun idea. And that was an example, I think, of we're crossing way over.
Yeah.
And they loved it. And somebody that we didn't think would love it.
Absolutely loved it.
Absolutely.
That's what makes it fun. So I think it was step one. You had to get the shovel. It was dig the moat. Yeah. Step two was fill the moat with water from your garden hose, right? Yeah. And it was this fun illustrated thing. And then step three was fill the moat with alligators.
You gotta get the alligators. Yeah. You gotta bring in the alligators.
So, I mean, that's definitely not in anybody's brand guidelines,
No.
But you never know where those clients, want to engage and what the ask is and what the initiative is or the tactic is, how far we can push out. So
generally speaking, my I feel like the sweet spot for clients, and this is a generalization, of course, but the sweet spot is I'm a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it, but it makes me a little uncomfortable.
Yes.
That to me is a really, really good place to be.
Yes, I totally agree. because that to me means it's a little left or right of center.
Yeah.
It's what other people are not doing, which is what we want to do, right? Which is draw attention to ourselves.
Right.
But it's not crazy just for being crazy,
Right.
It's still categorically relevant. It's just, we're just a little bit different than what everybody else is doing, which I think is fun. And a little bit uncomfortable is a good thing, because that means it's potentially something you haven't seen before. It's not just a boring run of the mill, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it is. I think it's all, I'm going to go back to the analogy that I've been drawing, but it's kind of knowing your lane, right? And learning where that lane is and where clients are comfortable and where they're not comfortable in certain lanes.
Yeah.
And we do, out of the gate, we present a nice range of, hey, super comfortable. Here you are in your comfy PJs under the blanket. Yeah. It's nice and warm.
Yeah, absolutely.
To, oh, here we are out in spandex.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the freeway.
Absolutely.
And I'm very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To try and figure out those personalities. And a lot of times too, it literally is, we were working on a logo project the other day, and a lot of times we will say to clients, are there any colors that you hate?
Yeah.
Once we get to...
Yeah, once we get to the color phase.
Once we get to the color phase. And it's, yeah, I don't want to see brown or yellow.
Yeah.
And it's, okay, well, let's take that off
the... Yeah, take it off the table.
Let's take it off the table. So sometimes there's simple little cues like that
that
actually tell us a lot and create those efficiencies for time.
Totally.
And then I think also, too, it's you got to be able to, both from a graphic design standpoint and a writing standpoint, a language standpoint, you have to be able to... create a lot and speak in a lot of different visual tones and voices and things. And I mean, if you're coming up with a, you know, I don't know, a logo for an energy drink or something, that's very different than coming up with a logo for a bank.
Totally.
Generally speaking.
Totally.
But you have to be able to do both of those things.
Yeah. I think one of the things we provide is that versatility,
right?
Having multiple designers, multiple art directors approach similar projects. Everybody here kind of works on everything. Because I think that gives a lot of variety to clients, but then that's also a variety from the shop promoting to working in a lot of different industries, right? So it isn't, one of the things I love about us is that we're not homogenized into one industry and everything kind of looks the same, right? It is, versatility is really the key to adapting our style to client needs, right? Because each client is unique. And then with the experience we have of being able to work with XYZ brand that has a certain rules, like you said, energy drink versus, you know, banks and whatnot and financial matters. So
I think also another client need that just popped into my brain is the idea of how we work with clients, because it differs sometimes. And sometimes it's, okay, guys, here's the brief. And I've got the brief and here it is. I'd like to set up a call and we're going to go over it. We're going to walk through it.
We're going to have meetings. There's going to be
Zooms. Other times you get the cell phone from the car. Okay. I'm driving down the road. I got bad coverage. Hey, I need this. I need it like tomorrow. And here's the thing. So we work in a lot of different ways and we're very flexible with how we engage with clients.
Yeah.
In other words, we don't
force clients to work through our specific methodology.
Never.
Yeah.
We don't like process because there's a method to the madness.
I was about to say,
I gotta tread carefully here, but we don't have our branded agency process that we are going to take the client, drop them in the top of that funnel, and that this is what they're going to get and how they're going to get it.
Yeah. Agreed.
We're more flexible.
Well, not every client and not every request requires the same steps to get a stellar product at the end of that cycle.
Right.
So it seems kind of counterintuitive to force everyone through the same matrix, right?
Right.
When everybody's different and has different needs and is on different timelines. I mean, you did mention, we spent a lot of time about timing, which I hadn't even considered, but some clients are incredibly quick and nimble and some, you know, larger corporations, I mean, it's like, great, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks with feedback. You know what I mean? And it's like, 2 weeks, what? You know, like, so, but that, you know, that's another case of adapting to what their needs are. I mean, sometimes it's, they got to turn the battleship and the bathtub, and it's going to take a long time for decisions to be made, right? Interesting. I mean, we do have a process, but it's I think the goal is to get clients' work off of their desk and onto our work, you know, onto our desk, and make it painless for them, to send it over the ship bow, keep the ship analogy going. So
right.
Yeah, which I think works really, really well for us. So
the ship analogy or the.
No, our methodology.
Right.
Yeah. And it works for clients as well. So, it's an interesting, I mean, we could probably talk another 20 minutes about different styles and the different industries and things we work in. But I think this is given a good kind of overview of what this sort of topic means on multiple levels.
Yeah. I think the summary is, to me, creativity is flexibility.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to be flexible and you've got to be able to adapt and to your immediate client needs and whatever else. And I think we do a pretty good job of that.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. I think we've talked it out.
I think we got it.
All right. Where can the people find us?
Oh, man, we're everywhere. We're everywhere.
We're on Apple.
We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Are we on Audible? We might be on Audible. I don't even know.
I'll have to look it up.
Stitcher.
It might be.
Magical places.
Twitch. Are we on Twitch?
No. Not yet, because we don't have a video component yet.
I'm not the video gamer. All right. Yeah. No, you can find us, of course, on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com and on all the socials at mocktheagency. And we always appreciate feedback. So drop us a line, drop us a note, drop us ideas that you'd like for us to talk about, and happy to do so.
Yeah, and we'll catch you next time.
Visit you next time.
All right, thanks, everybody.